Another shout out to the prayer, the app that you can put prayer requests. You can also put answers to prayer. And Mario is good, and he is home in Jesus' name. So his stroke is good. He's home. Brother-in-law Stu, who also had brain surgery, is also home, and they think they got the whole tumor. So thank you for praying. It's been a good week to pray. Let's see here. Got to remember to turn this bad boy on. Okay. So I had a friend ask me once after a particularly hard situation if I'd ever thought about giving up Jesus or giving up women's ministry. And I was wholeheartedly able to say, no, never. That question has come to mind over the years as I've gone through other hard circumstances. And my answer has still been able to stay the same wholeheartedly, no, I'll never give up. Have you guys ever thought about giving up Jesus when things get hard? Maybe you haven't thought about giving up women's ministry, but perhaps you've thought about other areas that you're involved in. Have you ever thought about giving up a leadership position at work or in the church? How about giving up praying for somebody that God's put on your heart because nothing seems to be changing with that as you pray? How about even going to church? Have you ever thought about doing that? Maybe you have a situation with somebody and it just gets hard. It's like, no, I think I'm done. I want to begin this morning by telling you about a man who understood how things can be hard. This gentleman didn't have a car, so he had to walk most of his career, which totaled about 10,000 miles. That might not seem like a lot, but when you're walking, it's a lot. It would have been equal to walking from New York to Los Angeles four times. Let's hear more of his own words. In 2 Corinthians 11:25-27, it says, three times, he says in his own words, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. This man was named Paul, and he endured some very hard circumstances. And he didn't always see immediate results from his work. He's a great one to help us this morning to understand how we can work in the harvest field and not grow discouraged and not give up. What, you said, we're not talking about Jesus this morning? We're talking about Paul? In the Bible, the words of Paul have equal weight to the words of Jesus. They're all inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if anybody's like, hey, I only have to hear the words of Jesus, we can listen to the words of Paul and know that they're also from God. So Craig has mentioned several times in our current sermon series, Take It to the Streets, that compassion fuels our work in the harvest field. Compassion recognizes the suffering of others and then takes action to help. The hard part about compassion is when you take action, and it looks like nothing's changing with the suffering. Maybe you tried to help somebody make different choices so the pain, the same painful cycle of suffering would stop, and they don't make a different choice. Maybe it's you see a need that someone has and you can't fix it, and you have to watch them continue to suffer because it's beyond your capability to help fix. Whatever the need is, whatever the suffering is that motivates you to compassion, and then from your compassion to action, watching somebody continue to suffer and seeing your efforts seemingly fail can be the hardest thing to do. And not lose your compassion and not lose your passion for Jesus in the process. So what's laying heavy on your heart this morning? Who's suffering and it feels really heavy for you? Where has compassion motivated you to action with seemingly no results? How have you navigated those times? Have you been angry? frustrated. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you're just outright sad about it. Have you stepped back from the situation because it hurts you too much to watch the suffering? I've done that. Or has your heart grown cold and apathetic, enclosed with a wall of thick concrete around it so that you don't get hurt again? Ultimate suffering would be life without Jesus for eternity. Have you ever grown weary of working in the harvest field? Have you grown weary of talking to people about Jesus? And have you ever really considered giving up because it's just too hard? Or are you one that can wholeheartedly say no, never? Today we're going to see how Paul encourages us. We really are going to see how Paul encourages us. Scott, can you go to the next one, please? Thank you. We're going to see today how Paul encourages us to continue to work in the harvest field, to not grow weary, and to not give up. No, never. Let's pray. Jesus, would you come by your Spirit? And would you take that thing that weighs heavy on us today? And would you inspire us by your example to not grow weary and to not give up? Because there are things that you have for that person, but there are things that you have for us in the process. By your Spirit, would these words that I speak connect to hearts, to encourage and to strengthen and to uplift, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, dang. Okay. So my father-in-law was a farmer, and he always said that his part was to plant the seed, to plow the ground, and he had to trust that God was going to water and grow the seed in such a way that he would be able to harvest. It was a partnership. He always said it was a partnership between him and the Lord in such a way that he would be able to reach or to reap the harvest. And Paul teaches us four principles this morning that are going to help us as we persevere in our harvest fields. The first thing is that we must know that we're called by God to work in the harvest field. Bob and I did not talk this morning about what he was going to pray. He was just going to pray for military and for spiritual warriors. He sensed that word called by God in his prayer. The Holy Spirit is awesome. There's only one Spirit. He's going to connect it all together. So, well done, Bob. So the second thing that we're going to learn today is that we are not to grow weary. We are to do good, and we will reap the harvest. So we're going to anchor this morning in Galatians 6, 9 through 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. So then, as we have every opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Paul begins this passage with the phrase, and let us not grow weary of doing good. So this is the first principle that we're going to talk about as we are going to be spiritually productive in the kingdom of God. That we must, like Paul, know that we're called to this work in the harvest field. And you know that you're called to do something, or when you know that you're called to do something before you step in and do it, it makes it so much easier to not quit when things get hard. I know I'm called to women's ministry, so I'm determined to persevere and to not give up. Even when years ago, the whole women's team felt God calling them out into doing new things, so it was left on the team of one. But I knew God was in it because I knew the women, I knew that they listened for his voice, and I knew God was up to something new, but I didn't give up. There are some ministries here that are in that place right now. So I just want to encourage us to pray for our ministry leaders within the church, that they don't grow weary and that they don't give up either. If I don't know that I'm called to do something, the first time things get rough, I'm going to quit. if I don't know that I'm called to the Ironman, the first time I have to swim 2.4 miles, I'm quitting 100% of the way. I can't even imagine swimming that far. So, are you called to work in the harvest field? Jesus called all believers to work as spiritual farmers in the harvest field in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. This is the last thing that Jesus said to the disciples before he went back to heaven to be with the Father. If you are a disciple of Jesus, then you're called to work in the harvest field. If you're not sure that you have put your faith in Jesus, start there. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father through or except through me. Jesus is the answer. Start there. But if you have put your faith in Jesus, you are called. Isn't that fun? So exciting. Everybody's like, what? Even those that are newer to faith, you're still called. We might not be all called to do the same thing in the harvest field. Some may be called to pray, some to plow, some to plant, some to water, some to weed. But we are all called to work in the field in some capacity. The Lord will give us opportunities to do these things, even if it's not our primary calling. If my primary calling is to weed, he might give me an opportunity to plant a seed. And I shouldn't miss the opportunity to plant the seed if it's right in front of me. I can't just say, nope, I'm only here for when the weeding needs to be done. We have to look for the opportunities and step into those opportunities as Jesus brings them to us. Don't miss the opportunity, guys. So let's see what kind of insight Paul's going to give us as we look at our second example this morning, to not grow weary. The main danger of a spiritual farmer is despair or weariness. That word weary is more than getting physically tired. It's a spiritual condition. It's when, as believers, we spiritually give up and lose heart. When we see lots of good results from our labor, it's really easy to continue to work, right? But when we don't see those immediate results, then we can grow tired and we can grow weary. And if left unchecked, that weariness is going to continue. And then we may just give up altogether. That's no bueno. It's my Spanish for the morning, Rick. I worked with a girl. This is probably 5 years ago. She worked with us where I work, and she was just in a cycle. And it was not a good cycle. It was producing a lot of suffering. And I absolutely loved her. And I tried everything that I could think of. I prayed a lot. I loved, I encouraged, I spent time with her, I built a relationship. And watching the suffering was just so hard, because I extended Jesus and she was not having anything about it. And it's really hard to watch that and continue to see the suffering and not be able to fix it for her. Despite watching hard things like this, Paul is saying that we are not to grow weary. How can we do this? We can follow. Scott, I feel like these are a little bit out of order. Never mind. We're good. I know. Somewhere I'm missing a picture, but we're good. Okay. So we're going to follow Paul's example this morning. So Paul read scripture. That's the first thing that he did, not to grow weary. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God even the words of Jesus, even the words of Paul. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Scripture equips us for our good works. Paul gave thanks for everything. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for everything, even the hard stuff. That's a thought, isn't it? This one has really become an anchor for me over these last years. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. So with my friend who is making hard choices, continuing to suffer, continuing to stay in that cycle, rejoicing always, giving thanks for all circumstances, and praying without ceasing helped my attitude. Didn't necessarily help her as much as I thought it would, but it changed my attitude, which helped me to continue to pray. Paul asked God for wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of knowing him. Colossians 1:9 says, and so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul thanked God for every believer. Romans 1:8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Paul thanked God for all believers, and we can too. Paul did not stop praying. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert and with perseverance making supplications for all the saints. That can maybe feel like overwhelming, like how can I never, ever, ever stop praying? I think it's just talking with God throughout the day as you go about your business. If somebody comes to mind, Jesus, I just want to lift this person up to you. And then just pray how God is directing you to pray. It's just talking with God every day as a lifestyle. Paul prayed in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:18 says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. The gift of tongues is meant to build us up in our faith. It encourages us as well. Paul sang to God. Acts 16:25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Worship this morning, that's what we did. Ephesians 5:18 and 19, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. They're not just words on a screen. They're not just words on a page. It's intended to engage our heart with God as we sing through music. Well done, Josh. So how do we not grow weary? We must be intentional with our time with God. Reading our Bible, going to church, don't stop praying. That is how we stay encouraged. Don't stop praying. No, never. Prayer changes us and our attitudes as much as it changes the situation that we're called to pray for. Our attitudes affect our actions, right? Craig has mentioned that several times too. Paul goes on to tell us about our actions in our third principle today, and not let us grow weary of doing good. What does Paul mean by doing good today? We do good by praying for others. We talked about that. We finished up a whole prayer series over the last couple months about how prayer changes the harvest. So if you want to kind of refresh on those, you can listen to those on the website. We do good by living out of the fruits of the Spirit as we do things for others. So Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Life in the Spirit involves a continual ebb and flow of these things. It's giving these fruits to others, but it's also receiving them from others so that we don't grow weary in the process. One day I may pour out love and patience to someone, but the next day I might be in need of love and patience. So it's living life within these fruits of the Spirit all the time. This is what makes church invaluable to our good work. We receive from others what we need in order to continue our good work in the harvest field with Jesus. Doing good will draw people to God, even if we don't see the results in the moment. And our good should flow from the fruit of the Spirit. They should flow out of love, joy, patience, patience. Did I say patience, patience, peace, peace, patience, patience? We all need patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That should be the motivation for us to do something. New Crossing Church is really good at doing good. Dawn, after she got some particularly hard news, just had a fleeting thought. Gosh, I wish I had some coffee right now. Several hours later, Kim Chokas showed up with coffee and a journal and a gift and just some really personal words of encouragement. And Dawn never knew. She never spoke it to anybody. It was just a little thought. But Kim followed Jesus and did something good that she felt God was prompting her to do. And it so drew Dawn closer to God because she knew that God knew what was going on. It built up Dawn's encouragement and her faith a lot. Aaron and Craig, after Kyle had his accident, they went to go visit him in Janesville. They were purposeful about going to make a trip to just visit a friend who was recovering from an accident. Tad took a vacation day off from work to help somebody move. Eric supported a newer believer as he played in his rock band because he knew music was really important to him and he wanted to support him. After a particularly hard situation, my friend Kate made rolls and she brought napkins and a knife and butter and jelly, and she made enough that I would be able to share with my coworkers. It encouraged me, but I was able to share with my coworkers and say, yep. They're like, why did she make these? Well, she's fabulous, but she's also somebody that I go to church with, so that planted seeds in them. But it just was very comforting for me that day. Our works don't bring salvation. How do we get saved? Exactly, following Jesus. It's not our works that bring salvation. But there is a practical side to our Christian faith that will express itself through good works. Back in the day, I had somebody mentor me, and we met every week for, gosh, probably a year and a half, just praying and worshiping together. And I didn't realize it until she pointed it out. She goes, you keep inviting women to join us. And it was just because I wanted women to have and to experience what I was experiencing with Jesus. So that's the good works. There's no formula to it. It's following God and letting him inspire us with others in good works. It has to come with love. It has to be rooted in love. Jesus loves me, so I want to love other people. Jesus is really patient with me, so I can extend patience to others. And it's so important to remember that our efforts matter and that we're not to grow weary in them. We do especially good when we share the gospel with people. Ultimate suffering is life without Jesus forever in eternity. None of us will really be able to grasp the depth of what that's going to look like, but it's not good. It's life without God for eternity, but we're all missing it. Or if people haven't put their faith in Jesus, we're going to miss it here on earth too. Sin is our wrongdoing, and it will be a spiritual death for us for eternity, unless we understand that the good news that Jesus died to bring us forgiveness for that wrongdoing so that we can have eternal life. That's how we get rid of the ultimate suffering. When we share the good news with others, Jesus becomes the plow in their hearts. Jesus becomes the seed. Jesus comes with water. Jesus comes to weed. And that partnership between us and Jesus can bring us a harvest, can bring him a harvest. We get to participate in that. So what about the harvesting, you're asking? Well, that comes from our fourth principle. For in due season, we will reap. It's God's timing. Most of the time, it's not our timing, because our timing wants it yesterday. But in due season, it's saying that we will reap. He will make the seeds grow that are scattered and watered in such a way that we will get a harvest. Mostly, if seeds are planted, at some point they're likely to grow. Even if they're planted upside down, the plant is still going to try and grow up to the sunlight. Jesus doesn't give us a promise that all seeds that we plant will grow. Some will enter the soil of good hearts, but not all. This does not stop us from sowing and watering because we don't know what God's going to do with the seeds. We still just have to keep going out there and watering and growing and sprinkling the seeds. The promise is, whether we plant, water, bring light, weed, that person, that soul, will become part of the harvest for all who helps that person choose Jesus. I still remember a young man who came to JCPenney back in the day in my 20s when I was working, and he was wanting to talk with me about Jesus, and I wasn't having anything to do with it. But my being here today is part of his harvest, even if I don't remember his name. The encouragement Paul wants to give us this morning is that we will reap, even if we don't see the results right away. There's always a delay between sowing and growing and reaping. A farmer will have no harvest to reap if he or she becomes too weary to labor, or if they give up altogether. The weeds will overtake, the harvest won't come. And a lack of follow-through on our end can stunt the harvest, just like it does in gardening, just like it does with spiritual people. As Christians, we will reap a harvest of now blessings. The fruit of the Spirit, we get to receive fruits of the Spirit as we're working in the field. Being well instructed through the Bible, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and other Christians. We'll get to help restore sinners back to Jesus, and that is the best thing ever. It's my favorite part. And we'll also be able to gain mutual support from other believers in the process. Living according to the Spirit will require effort on our end, and we're going to resist it because we want to see the immediate results, and we're busy, and blah, 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 blah. Sometimes we're not going to see the results until we're in heaven. Those are future blessings. Some efforts like character building and caring for others have long-range results. Those are future blessings. Did you know that we get changed as much as we are praying for those others to be changed? That's the work that Jesus does in us in the process. Please don't become discouraged if you don't see immediate results. Harvesting takes time. It's God's timing, but we can't give up. No, Never. So whether we receive now blessings or future blessings in eternity, we should not give up. Because we know that the harvest will come if we don't give up. That is the contingent thing to us receiving the harvest, is that we don't give up in the process. Our part is to not give up. Don't 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 give up. Do we need to say it again all together? Don't give up. So we're going to look at the next verse. This is Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. As we have opportunity, God will bring people to you that don't know him and who need to be encouraged by his truth and the fruits of the Spirit. We're not expected to personally meet the needs of every person all the time. That's too overwhelming. But we can look around us and ask Jesus to show the opportunities he's presenting us. Who is it at work that all of a sudden just like, wow, I've never really gotten to know them, and they want to get to know you? That's an opportunity. If the need or the suffering feels overwhelming to you, that just means you're not to carry it alone. We shouldn't remove ourselves completely, but it means that we should have others come alongside us to help that need. Diana has a friend in Uganda. I was talking with her a couple weeks ago, and it's somebody that she and Phil have supported since high school, and now he's in college. And now he has adopted 17 kids, and he doesn't know how to take care of them, and there's a financial need. And Diana just started crying. She goes, I can't, Phil and I cannot sustain this by ourselves. So that's what I'm talking about. If it brings you to tears and you can't fill it yourself, then that just means you get other people to come alongside you to help. The word opportunity means every time you can do something, we should do it. The timing for doing good is all the time. We are to treat these opportunities not as overwhelming burdens, but as strategically placed opportunities by God in our path. So no matter where you find yourself, what job, what neighborhood, what school, what church, anywhere that there are people around you, there will always be a fresh opportunity to serve and to help and to usher in those fruits of the Spirit. Two times in these passages, Paul encourages us to do good. But he clarifies it a little bit more in verse 10. He says, do good to everyone. This is for those inside the church, and it's also for those outside of the church. It's all people. It's everyone. It's everybody. The bulk of Paul's ministry was to people that did not believe in Jesus. So he knows what it is to do hard work in places where you're not received. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, meaning those that are outside the faith, making the best use of time. This passage is encouraging us to be wise with how we interact with outsiders. We have some great messages in this whole series, Take It to the Streets, on how to do that, how to start those conversations. So thank you for those that have come before us. But Paul says we need to be wise and make the best use of the time that we have been given with this opportunity. We don't want to miss an opportunity to do good. We don't get the same opportunity back. We don't get the same opportunity a second time. We must be diligent in sharing Jesus and doing good when the opportunities come. I have missed opportunities, and I've really regretted it. God has been gracious to give me more opportunities, but he doesn't give me the same ones back. I don't want to miss any more. I know you guys don't want to miss any more. Part of the wisdom toward outsiders is that we need to know that we are called, But how is God calling us today to interact with those that are around us? How does he want to interact with us this week as we interact with them? Next week, next month, next year. It's about living in relationship and letting Jesus in the moment be able to say, how can I encourage my brother? How can I encourage my sister? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And being willing to do that thing, even if it seems a little crazy. In our bulletins, we have this insert that's for Dane. It's called For Dane. City Church is a city, or is a church in the city of Madison. We're going to partner with them, and we're going to do some landscaping work at Henderson Elementary, which is on the east side here in Madison. This might have been too much for City Church to do by themselves. It's definitely a little bit too much for us to do by ourselves. So this can be where we come alongside one another, and we can help do good in our community. We don't want to miss opportunities, right? We can be individual believers who work together in meeting the needs of the school, giving our time and our resources as God calls us to do. This sows seeds of kindness, and it expresses Christ's love and can even prepare our hearts, prepare their hearts to receive the gospel. There might even be something that God has for you in the process. So pray. Ask if Jesus is asking you to participate in this. I would be there, but I have a wedding to go to, so I don't want to come on too strong. Like, yeah, I'll go do it, but I'm not. I would totally be there. But just follow the Spirit, because if you're sensing, yeah, maybe I should do this, there might be something that God has for you in the process as you do good for the kids in that community. Paul further defines to whom we are to do good in the second part of this verse, especially to those who are in the household of faith. What does Paul specifically, or why does he specifically mention this part? Over and over, Paul tells us that doing good for one another builds up the church, which is important. The church needs to be strong and healthy so that it can minister to those that the Lord is bringing into their fold. It's the difference between a hospital with healthy, equipped staff versus a short-staffed situation where everything is chaotic and falls apart, right? The church is especially built up when we use our spiritual gifts for the gifts or for the good of others, and also the fruits of the Spirit for the good of others. It shows what Christian life is supposed to be about. We don't always express it perfectly. But it's intended to be, this is what it is to be a Christian. It's doing good for the person in front of you. Giving to him or her what is best for them. Bless you. So doing good to the person in front of you, what's best for them. And it shows that we are giving them what we discern as their true need. It can be prayer, it can be sharing the gospel, it can be financial support, but it's giving them what they need, the person in front of us here in the household of faith. This whole section of scripture in Galatians is under the title, Bear One Another's Burdens. It's how we don't grow weary, because we don't carry it by ourselves. Craig listed a whole bunch of one another's 2 weeks ago in his message offering the gift of koinonia. If you want to kind of refresh that or dig deeper into what it means to bear one another's burdens. But it is the way we don't grow weary as we work in the harvest field. When Kim and Josh experienced a cancer diagnosis for their son Titus 2 years ago-ish, New Crossing Church stepped up and did good for them. None of us can really imagine what it would be like to have to go through that season, but we provided meals for months. We visited them in the hospital. We sent text messages and songs and notes and cards and scriptures to them when they needed it. Women's and men's ministries worked in their yard to help with their landscaping because they didn't have the time to do it. And we did a drive-by birthday party for Titus when he turned one during COVID. And they have friends in church who now provide respite care for them so that they can enjoy date nights again. And I won't go into all the details of their dates, but I would say that it starts with coming to church and just spending time quietly here, praying together and reading scripture that they didn't have time to do before. That's living life in community. Everything that we carry for one another in church matters. It helps the person not grow weary and not give up. So I'm just going to take a moment to pray because Titus has a scan tomorrow. It's also Kim's birthday. So she's spending all day at the hospital tomorrow, which I know she's happy to do. But can we just pray really quick for the, because this is part of doing good, right? Jesus, we just thank you for Titus. We thank you that you created him in his mother's womb. And God, we thank you for the life and the joy that this little boy gives his family, but also gives us, his church family. And as he goes in for his 2-year scan tomorrow, Jesus, we just ask that your wisdom would pour out to the doctors. We command every cell in his body to come into alignment with Jesus Christ. We ask for healing of every cell in Jesus' name. And we thank you that the scan would be clear and that hurdle of that 2-year mark from his stem cell procedure, God, that would be just your hands upon him. We thank you that you would give him life and life to the full in Jesus' name. So everything that we carry for one another in church matters. It helps the person not to grow weary and not to give up. Josh and Kim have not given up. They've posted regular updates for people so that they can see how God is working. And there are thousands of people that have been affected by these updates because they're just posting them and kind of sharing what God is doing in the process. Josh has even written a book, a real life testimony to every detail of what God has done in Titus's life and his journey. They have not given up. No, never. Remember my coworker who left 3 years ago? The beginning? Y'all remember that? Fast forward 2.5 years after she left, she came back in October, this last October, and just apologized for her exit. And she shared with me how the suffering was really astronomically awful in the 2 years that she's been gone. And it was heartbreaking to hear. But she shared how we took a walk 4 years prior. It was a walk. I don't even remember. I remember the walk, but I don't remember exactly what we talked about. But something that I had said in that walk 4 years ago never left her. And she put her faith in Jesus that night when we went out to dinner. I saw the results. It took 5 years. But even if I didn't, I am not going to give up. Jesus is the answer to our suffering. And I was blessed to have that present blessing to be able to see her come to faith. But please don't give up, guys, even if you don't see it. If the worship team wants to come up. This is the best part of my morning when we get to interact with Jesus. See what he puts on our hearts. So what was feeling heavy to you when you came in this morning? At the beginning of your time here, what was that thing that popped into your head when I said, what feels heavy? What feels overwhelming? Was it a person? Was it a situation? Let's close our eyes. Take that person, that situation, whatever it is that felt heavy, and just lift that up to Jesus and ask him what he wants you to know about that. Do you mind playing a little background music? We didn't talk about that. Have you grown weary? How does Jesus want to encourage you today as you work in the harvest field? Is there a particular example Paul wants you to focus on this week that we talked about? Maybe it's singing, maybe it's reading scripture, maybe it's praying without ceasing. Jesus, will you please affirm our call to work in the harvest field today? To partner with you to see souls drawn into salvation and relationship with you? Would you please help us to not grow weary? And Jesus, if we have grown weary, would you reignite our passion to work with you in the harvest field? Would you come with your encouragement and just refresh us? Would you guide us to do good and make the most of every opportunity you present to us this week and next week? Would you help us to do good, sharing the fruits of the Spirit? Jesus, is there an opportunity in front of me right now that you're wanting me to partner with you? Would you allow us to have and reap a great harvest for us personally, but as a church too, a harvest that would bring you glory? Would you bless us now with now blessings and future blessings as we partner with you? And Jesus, help us not to grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have the opportunity, let us to do good for everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Would you help us never to give up and to never quit? No, never. No, never. No, never. In Jesus' name.